B-Pod Studios.
Well, let's get into all things Eagles with my man from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. We'll talk to Jeff McClain coming up in just a moment. But we want to get into all that stuff with him. The security angle of it, who to pick. Here he is from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, my man Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Yo, brother, how you holding up?
Surviving, you know. Hey, yeah, you know, could be a lot worse. Could be a lot worse.
How's the how are the kids handling this thing?
Yeah, I mean, they're good. I mean, they're okay with the school part, although they're learning from home. They have remote learning and using their iPads, et cetera. But sports, the no sports is killing them.
I mean, I like the whole baseball. It's weird because my kids play baseball and I coach both their team. You know, I help out and do the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's weird, man. Like the whole spring, it's like no baseball and,
you know. Wow. No, I love baseball. I was coaching their school team, and no more. I mean, that's. I think school's pretty much going to be canceled. Thankfully, they have, you know, tournament teams, but I don't even know. I don't know when that's going to come back or if it's going to come back at all. So, just trying to make the best of it.
I know.
A lot of practice. My arm's been thrown out. I've been throwing my arm out, pitching to them so much. So,
that's great. That is cool. Lots to get into with the draft. Let's first start with the security standpoint, because I think it's really interesting, the virtual draft, and how do you attack your cybersecurity, Jeff?
Yeah. I haven't spoken to the Eagles about this or Howie, but we've certainly seen reports that there are concerns about, you know, hacking or people potentially getting into systems to know what they're doing or ahead of time. And then I just saw something recently about, you know, obviously I'm getting off topic here a little bit, but just also about having, you know, foreign people outside your family into the house to set things up. And so there's a lot of logistics involved in trying to pull this off. I don't know. I mean, I still feel like it's going to happen. They're going to find a way to make it happen. The NFL really seems committed to still having the draft. So I think there'll be obstacles, certainly. But all in all, I think they'll be able to find a way to pull it off.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, ultimately, I don't know how good it's going to be for TV and what kind of TV product it's going to be, because I guess they're going to do a lot of Skype stuff. And, you know, let's go into the basement of Andy Reid. Like, it'll be fun. It'll be different. It'll be interesting. And they'll have the guys in the studio talking about the draft. But, you know, it's going to be such a different, and it'll be tough for the networks to go from Skype call to studio to home studio.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be an
challenge. From what I understand, I don't know if this has been reported or not. I'm not necessarily reporting this, but this is what I was hearing, is that so while you had – you could watch either NFL Network or you could watch ESPN. I think they're just going to have one broadcast.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, if ESPN was your flavor, if you love Mel Kiper or Lou Riddick, you could watch them. But if you like the NFL Network and Daniel Jeremiah, then you. But now I think that they're just going to combine the two.
You might as well. One. Yeah, you might as well just do one. And broadcast that. But I would be seriously concerned about hacking, you know, both inside the league and outside the league. Yeah, who the hell knows?
Anytime, yeah, no, I mean,
you know.
Also, it's like, you know, it's, you're going to have it in Howie Roseman's house, per se. And is it just going to be Howie? I mean, in that house? I mean, obviously, he's going to be connected. You know, I guess Microsoft Office or whatever they call it, to, you know, Jeffrey and Andy Weidel and Doug Peterson, et cetera. But does that change how decisions are made on the fly? I mean, you know, does that mean that Howie has the final say? I mean, he does have in these situations, except maybe the first round, obviously Jeff has to sign off on those. But, you know, you've always heard, and this has been the case before, you have all these voices in the room, and somehow that can influence how decisions are made. I understand there's a draft board, and they always say that things go off, based upon that draft board. But that's not always the case. So you just wonder how that changes the dynamic as well.
Without a doubt, completely without a doubt. And listen, we all know, you still look at drafts past, and that it's not one guy gets these picks. They have their board, but also, if you're an owner out there in the NFL and you feel like you know what you're doing, you get a pick. It's your team.
Yeah.
And sometimes the pick is good. Sometimes the pick is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
No, you're right. And you're influencing people in that room have more of a football say into making decisions that you feel are within the best interest of the team, or at least that reflect your opinion of who should be picked or not picked. So, should be interesting.
All right, so let me ask you a question. The Eagles as a whole, because it's one of my daily five questions today. The Eagles as a whole, confidence in their ability to have a good draft, 1 to 10, 10 being supremely confident, where would you line up there?
I guess maybe a 6 or 7. When you compare their drafts to other teams, if you really sit down and look at it, I mean, it's not really that far off from some of even the better ones, and really, and of course, not that far from some of the lesser ones. People, when you look at drafts, you tend to do it in a vacuum, and look, it's really hard. And 3 starters is a really good draft. 2 is a good draft, and if you get less than that, then you have an issue. And I've been looking at a lot of drafts, and you just say, okay, this team is considered to be really good at drafts. And you look at their picks and you're like, yeah, I mean, they had one great year. And then another year, like, Seahawks, for instance, I mean, they had one really great year that really, two or three years in a row where they had some really good drafts. But I mean, since then, maybe not as much, and if you look at the Eagles drafts over the last several years, I wouldn't say they're top 5 or even top 10, but they've done a pretty good job. I mean, they've gotten some good players, players that they can build around. We still have, the jury's still out on a bunch of these guys, but I think all in all, the Eagles do a fair job of drafting.
Yeah, fair. It's interesting. I don't know. I hear you, and I think you make a good point about, being in that vacuum and not looking at other drafts, other teams. But I just go back to some of the guys that we've been doing this a long time, you and I, and the guys that we bring up on the air that we talk about, the Dalvin Cooks of the world, that they just come right to mind, the Robbie Anderson. I thinking talking to Matt Rhule. Going, dude, did Howie call you? He went, yeah, but he goes, I kept telling him to draft him in the 7th round. I'm screaming, yep. You got a guy in your backyard. Like, what are you doing, man? And then you're going to try to steal him as a free agent, and the kid's going to go, I'm going to go wherever I get the most money. You could have drafted this kid in the 7th round. I don't know. And I look at that draft in 20. Like, here's the thing, Jeff. If you just indulge me for a moment, right? Let's start in 16, because you don't want to start before that. Chip Kelly had no clue what he was doing, right?
Yeah, 15 was bad. God,
I mean, it was awful, and Chip Kelly was terrible. But if you go 16, Carson was phenomenal, right? So the whole thing is wrapped around Carson, and you get big. I think you get big ups for Vitae in the 5th, who turns out to be an incredible player, and Jalen Mills in the 7th, right? That's a good job. In 17, I don't know. Are you happy with Derek Barnett? I'm not.
I think Barnett right now is you'd have to view him as a little bit of a disappointment. It's still early. He's been plagued by injuries, but that number that you were
trading up to get him, 14.
15, you need to. Actually, they stayed put. Remember?
That's right. But still, he was. I think
you're still drafting 14. I think 14. Yeah. You need a player that should be Pro Bowl level, and he hasn't been that yet. He's now entering his 4th year too. I mean, he's got to start clicking soon. And then, but then you, yeah, I mean,
Sidney Jones is a disaster.
Was a bad pick. Russell Douglas is a third rounder. You know, all right, not horrible.
Limitations, yeah. Though.
Yeah, not good. Danelle Pumphrey was a bad pick, considering, you know, it was one of the deepest running back drafts we've had in years.
Mac Hollins, 2 fourth-round picks, Mac Hollins and Pumphrey. That's
yeah,
bad,
Mac. Yeah. Yeah, well, Mac, you know, injuries kind of, I think Mac would have been a fine fourth-round pick if he wasn't plagued by the injuries. But, no, I mean, look, it's the top three guys you got to really focus on. And there were opportunities, as you mentioned, Dalvin Cook, they could have gotten. And even later in the draft, I mean, you know, Kamara was there. There were running backs there, impact running backs that you could have gotten that you didn't get. But, again, that being said, you look at, they weren't the only team that didn't get some of these guys. So, and then missed out on guys. But 17's a problem.
Yeah.
18, you know, Dallas Goedert is a good pick.
Yeah.
I think Maddox in the fourth round is a good pick. I mean, they've only had 10 selections the last 2 years.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you better hit on those guys.
I know.
Better hit on them. And you know, we don't know about Andre Dillard. I think Miles Sanders is going to be a good pick. JJ, meh. We don't know.
You had nothing to that.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm sorry.
You're done with him.
He can't run. Here's why I question what they're doing personnel wise. I mean, quite frankly, it drives me nuts. And I'm going to go back to Aguilar and having him on the team last year, which was a ridiculous mistake at paying him $9 million. Except they made a worse mistake by giving Alshon Jeffrey that extension, which was outrageous to me, how you could possibly give him an extension knowing that he's never a fast guy and that he was definitely a falls guy. Like, you got to have intel into your own team and know that he's a falls guy and that you're building this thing around Wentz. You got to be on point there.
Yeah. That was a bad contract. It was early December 2017. Yeah, Alshon had played pretty well through his first 11 games, and they knew that he was playing with a torn rotator cuff. So they were kind of factoring that into the equation. But in retrospect, I think even at the time, there were some questions about whether Alshon had done enough to earn that contract. So, okay, he's in 2018, he missed some years, he comes back, has a pretty good year. But then, it wasn't like he had done stuff to automatically say, okay, we're going to guarantee his salary for 2020. As I reported this week, Howie realized pretty quickly, I mean, Alshon was on the market by October. They were ready to move him if they could.
Yeah, and they failed. And that's a failure. And I look at these receivers with a franchise quarterback, and they haven't been good enough. I don't understand how you can have a franchise quarterback like Wentz and surround him with guys that can't play. And there's no mystery, these guys that have gone through here, that you go, can't play, can't run. That drives me insane. That's malfeasance. The offense itself isn't the right fit for Wentz. It's why I know you disagreed with me and we talked about this, but it's why I would move Ertz tomorrow if I got a decent haul. They're going to back up the truck for him, and it's going to be a mistake. You watch.
It could be. You could have also made the argument, why don't you include Goddard in a trade for DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I mean, I want to keep Goddard because financially he's a better fit than Ertz, who I'm going to have to pay big dollars for. He's already, you said it, they're already far apart in what he wants.
Yeah, no, the Ertz deal, there's nothing there right now. But, you know, there's nothing there right now. I mean, I think, eventually they like to keep their guys. And I don't know, I'm not saying that's a foregone conclusion, to be perfectly frank with you. I could see there being a scenario where they just let Ertz pay out his contract. And then they're in situation to have Goddard take over. But, I thought that look, I understand that maybe Houston wasn't into what how he was offering in terms of DeAndre Hopkins, but don't you essentially solve that problem with one push of the button?
Yeah.
This is a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, and so you're putting a lot of pressure on hitting in the draft with a receiver. It's not, you know, 2014 was the last great wide receiver draft, but there were still a couple misses in those first few rounds, or guys who were good, but I don't think they turned out to be, you know, Hall of Fame caliber or perennial Pro Bowl caliber receivers. I mean, Brandon Cooks has been a nice receiver. I think you would have been fine with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, Calvin Benjamin, there were guys who were good, but just didn't turn out to be great. Again, it's really hard to hit on these guys. So you better make sure you get the guy. And are they in a position at 21 to get the guy? That's the question.
To me, you got to get up and you got to get Ruggs.
And are you backing yourself into a corner saying, okay, making it almost a mandatory that they take a receiver in the first round? You don't want to go in saying, okay, we have to get a receiver here. You don't want to be in that situation because then you start forcing needs. Look, there's going to be talent in the second, third round at wide receiver, but they're in a position where they need to get somebody who can come in and be.
They need to trade up, Jeff. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to talk. Oh, no. Draft assets. Why? So they can flub those two? Give me a break. They need elite talent at the wide receiver position, and they ain't got it. They have below average talent at the wide receiver position.
All right, so are you surprised that they've only made one move on offense, which is bringing back Nate Sudfeld this offseason?
Yes.
Everything else has been defense.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am. It's and again, we all said the same thing after that, after what happened with the Texans. We all said the same thing. There is DeAndre Hopkins being one of the most underrated star receivers. It's amazing that you could be an underrated star receiver in this league, but he is. And I don't know, goes for a song. All right, we talked about that. But you got to now trade up and get elite talent. It's not that difficult to pick receivers. I'm sorry. In this day and age where on Saturday they're spreading it and throwing it, you should do better. You mentioned that 2014 draft. They walked away with Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff in the second and third round. I mean, really? I mean, again, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, all those receivers last year, D.K. Metcalf, all those guys that you talked about, and they come away with Arcega-Whiteside? What, are you kidding me? That's horrible.
Yeah. Hasn't been good. It hasn't been good, their evaluation of the wide receiver.
And again, it's not, I wouldn't kill them if your team wasn't built around Wentz. Right? Like, if you were a team that is more of a defensive running type team, and you spent your money on like great defense and a big tie back, and you got a more of a game manager, quarterback. All right, but you put all your money into Wentz. Well, then why wouldn't you open it up and have a real big play offense, big strike offense that suits the kid?
They're paying a little bit for the crimes of the past, and so they still have money committed to Alshon. They still have money committed to Sean. And they can't completely do what they want at that position because they're compromised by those deals, and that's part of the problem. I'm not underplaying what Deshaun can do when healthy, but he hasn't played in a 16 game season, all 16 games since 2013. He's going to be 33, nearing 34. I mean, how much can you expect out of him? I think, yeah, certainly he can come back and give you that deep ball threat, but can you rely on him? Can you, is Alshon, I still feel like Alshon's not going to be here ultimately. But if you're telling me he's coming back, I mean, geez, I mean, he clearly has lost a step. He can't stay healthy as well. This is not a receiver group. That was the problem last year.
I know. And look, look at Kansas City. Mahomes is terrific, but they act like they have game true. Tyreek Hill is a true game breaker. And Harvey can run too. I mean, they got guys. And
Marcus Robinson can run too.
And Sammy Watkins can catch the ball.
They have four receivers that are better than probably anything Eagles have right now.
Exactly. And that's where my frustration lies. Anything, speaking of going back on defense, anything with the Ngakoue thing? What's the latest there?
I just don't feel like they have what it takes to get him. Especially if it's got to be a first rounder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they change the price, the asking price, then maybe they can get in play. But I think right now they're not going to give up that first round pick for obviously a good defensive end. And you could certainly make the argument that they could add there as well. But I mean, they're committed to Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett. So my guess is that the Eagles probably won't be in play for that.
Let me ask you a would you question. Would you move, if you turned Ertz into draft capital and walked away with, and moved Ertz with the draft capital you turn him into, your first and second round pick, and walked away with Ruggs and Ngakoue, would you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because you get one guy that you know has a proven record, and you get probably the top speed guy, which is something they certainly need, at wide receiver. Yeah, and you have Goddard at tight end. I mean, yeah. I like Goddard, but Ertz is better. And if that included Goddard, I understand why you're not doing it. You wouldn't do it. You'd trade Ertz over Goddard because of the contract situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's and the money. Purely a money play. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be money play. But, no, I mean, yeah, this team right now is set up to be a 12-personnel team again. I just don't think that's a winning formula long term.
Not when you have Wentz. And again, I just keep going back to it. Wentz is your quarterback. Does Doug, let me ask you a question, because you know Doug well, and that, you know, and you kind of know how he thinks. Do you think he would like, if he had the personnel, to really open this thing up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not just hitting those guys downfield. It's creating the space underneath for the other guys, or drawing the safety over top away, or forcing teams to play a certain defense that you know that you can attack. It's making the defense more predictable because you have so many weapons and especially on the outside. Look, I mean, the Eagles cornerbacks alone show you how difficult it is to cover receivers on the outside.
But
there aren't that many cornerbacks in this league that can run with those guys for all 60 minutes. I understand the argument for not spending a lot or dumping a lot of capital in the wide receiver position. If you look at Super Bowl teams, I still agree with the basic premise philosophy of the Eagles is to, you know, build from the lines out. I get all that. They're strong. They're still pretty strong there, especially in the offensive line. But, you know, you need, again, this is the glaring weakness of this team last year. All the numbers back it up. Basically, just what you see with the naked eye backs it up. You know, they got to hit that wide receiver in the draft now, because unless to how he can pull off some trade, and I'm not really sure what kind of receiver, you know, number one receiver is available in a trade. He's going to have to do it. They're going to have to do it in the draft. And hope, and wish and pray on Deshaun, JJ, and Alshon if they bring him back.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right on. Jeff, man, always fun during this. You know, just be able to have a good conversation, man. You know how much I love talking football with you.
Appreciate it.
Keep up the good work. We'll be reading you. We'll be following you on Twitter, as always. And, again, safety and blessings to your to family and the kids, okay?
Awesome. Yeah, you too.
Thanks, brother. The great Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.